What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the Hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork, a bonus double dork week. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
You always love a good double dork weekend, huh? A double dork week.
It's been a while since we've had the old double dork. People go nuts for it, and I'm glad we can provide it once again. Sort of a bittersweet episode, Ryan, as we have lost the great Stan Lee this week, and we figured the guy was so influential. I mean, if you go back and look through most of our topics over the close to 200 episodes that we have had, I mean, he's responsible for like half.
Yeah, which is, you talk about people who are influential in this world, and I don't really see anybody who's even close.
It's funny. I was thinking of that, and so and I get it. You know, he co-created a lot of these. You know, Stan Lee wasn't the only guy working at Marvel, and like I completely get that. There were a lot of really important guys like Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko and, you know, John Romita Sr. There was a lot of guys in the early days of Marvel that got this thing going. But who else do you think even belongs in the same class, like, of the most influential hashtag dork people?
Well, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, you know, who, if you were to give the stone, so each one of our stones is responsible for like one of our areas of pseudo expertise, right?
Yes.
So ultimately, I think you give the comic stone to Stan Lee.
I think you have to, and there's definitely other guys. And what's funny is we were talking about Frank Miller a couple episodes ago, and it's like Stan Lee created these guys. And then there were people like Frank Miller and Alan Moore, and even more recently like Scott Snyder, who have taken established characters and put their own kind of flair on it, which made them even better.
Right.
But without Stan Lee, like, you don't have a bunch of those characters.
No, and I think that's just it. And you have like Ditko too, and it's funny, it's like him and Ditko died in the same year, which is
strange. I think it was June for Ditko.
Yeah. So it's been a rough year for comic books, losing those two guys for sure, like absolute titans. But you know, that might be just a fun episode to do. You know, who gets their the stone? Who's the stone? Who gets
yeah, because again, so we've pretty much broken it down, and the last two stones are really up for grabs. But if there's six stones of dork, there's obviously movies, TV, video games, comic books. The other two are more sort of, I went with beer and wrestling because those are ones we've done episodes on, and those are kind of like, they've become sort of dork topics. Like, people are so obsessed with different types of beer and all that stuff. That's sort of taken on a life of its own. And then I think wrestling, like, I've always had a soft spot for wrestling. I don't know what would the other things be, like board games or like,
No. So I would,
music.
I would break it down, like, instead of doing just movies, I would have like a sci-fi stone and like a horror stone.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Movies is a huge, I mean, I would say 75% of our topics are movies usually. Yeah. That's a big, so speaking of that, the only other people that I even consider sort of like Stan Lee would be George Lucas.
Right.
Because like Star Wars is such a thing, like in the movie realm, it's like really for us, it's like Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and then maybe we'll find like a horror or we'll find like a comedy.
Maybe George Martin gets in there at some point.
George Martin could. Yeah, he's got a chance. I'm partial to Jim Henson. I think he's like in that category. Like I love the Muppets. I could do a Muppets episode. I could do a Fraggles episode.
We could do either one of those. That would be phenomenal.
I love those bastards. We could actually do. Because then if you think about it, like the Labyrinth and like the Dark Crystal, like you could really do a whole.
We can really get in there.
There's a lot to unpack there.
There's a Dark Crystal sequel or prequel coming.
Oh, that's right.
So
you know what I might do this holiday season, Ryan? I think I might do a and by me, I mean we, an entire episode on the Muppet Family Christmas, which is the greatest Christmas movie of all time. It might even be available on YouTube.
I think it might be, too. You're going to put that ahead of, like, Elf and, like, Christmas Vacation?
Yeah, for me, yes. It has a. It's, wow. I am obsessed with it. It was, like, a TV movie. We've talked about it before, but it's the Muppets, Sesame characters, and Fraggles all at one fucking farmhouse during a Christmas.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you are a big fan of Rizzo the Rat?
Yes, correct.
Yes. All right. I'm just making sure I knew that.
He's in there. He's in there. And they all, it was a blizzard, Ryan, that they all had to stay in Fozzie's mom's farmhouse. And a lot of them met each other for the first time. And speaking of Rizzo the Rat, there was not a lot of beds in him. They ran out of beds. And so Rizzo ended up sleeping in the Oscar the Grouch's trash can.
Sure did.
You know, I mean, it was pretty fitting for him, I thought.
Yep.
So he did that. And yeah, but that's probably it. I mean, Stan Lee, George Lucas, Jim Henson, Jack Kirby, like those are the old school guys that have created so much content for us.
Yeah. And again, you know, I forget how many people asked me, like, well, how did he die? Like he was 95 years old, you know, we were talking about this in the group chat, but like people were asking me too. That's, and I think I said he got into a bad batch of bath salts or something, mm-hmm. you know, like
yeah.
he's 95, but like, I don't, not to make light of it, obviously, but you know, ooh, cracking a crispy boy there.
Hey, here we go. Hey, one of the six stones, Ryan.
There you go.
It's one of the perks of podcasting at home now.
Yeah, that's nice.
You know,
but my point is like, even though he was 95, you just assume that he's the guy who's going to be around forever. Like you never think that that guy's going to pass. But, you know, it's been in the news, you know, he wasn't doing so well. And then, you know, someone with like one of his kids, you know, business partner was like trying to rip him off. And there was like that whole like elder abuse thing going on. Remember that? That was this year, too.
Yeah. So this was pretty messed up. So back in April, it was the Hollywood Reporter. They had this whole article and they claimed that Stanley was a victim of elder abuse. And I guess that his business manager and a memorabilia collector. And this is, so his wife passed away a year ago. And I right. guess like since she died was like isolating him from like his friends and associates and was like trying to get his money. And I don't think it happened. And then he ended up getting a restraining order against her, but that was really weird because that popped up in the news this week, like this year. I remember that being like, oh, Stan Lee. And you're like, oh, fucking elder abuse. Like, come yeah. on, man.
Like remember there was that video that surfaced. They brought him out to some like con or some like, you know, some event. And he did not look like he knew where he was. And it was kind of,
yeah, it's, you know, kind of tough.
Yeah. And it was not great. But then, you know, he kind of snapped out of it for a little bit. And, you know, watching some of the interviews with him recently, like he seemed sharp. He seemed like with it. You know what I mean? So it was different. It was different to see like the difference like 6 months made in that whole thing.
Yeah, back in 2012, he got a pacemaker put in. And so that, so what, 6 years ago, he had to like cancel a bunch of his appearances. But then after, like, so when he went to Boston Comic Con, that was after that. So he kind of bounced back the last couple of years. But again, I mean, 95 is pretty incredible. And like a guy that was walking around and was with it, you know, like that's amazing. So good for him. How much do you think, I don't know, unless you saw this, how much do you think he was worth?
I'm trying to think like,
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see, cause it's gotta be like in the hundreds of millions, right?
It's not.
It's not?
It's not. $50 million, which, again, is a ton and, you know, whatever. But when you think of him and, like, what he created, because he didn't own all the rights to all these characters.
Right.
So, he's involved. And he also got, in a lot of these movies, he would get, like, sort of an executive producer credit, but it was sort of like, hey, like, shout out, my dog.
Like,
you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like
I'm wondering how much of that money he came into like this late in his life, like starting with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like how much he was worth and, you know, how much of that is like new money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I bet a decent amount, right?
Most of it, I would say.
You know, I would think so, just being attached to all these movies. Even if, like, think about it, even if you're getting like such a small percentage of like what's going on, the movies that he's been a part of have made like $17 billion or something like that.
Like what's 1% of $17 billion?
Yeah, I don't know how all that all that shit works either. And then he must get like residuals even too on like just the cameos, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that doesn't add up to a ton, but there's a lot of them, and all those movies make a lot of money, and they're all on TV all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't our buddy who we went to high school with, who is in like a handful of movies, he gets like, he'll get like a check for like dollars.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they'll like, he's like, oh, like something was on like Showtime, and you're like, okay.
And he's like, yeah, I got a check for like 60 cents because the like movie, they played the movie on Showtime this month. Because
he was in like Osmosis Jones. And you're like, all right.
Yeah. Subsequently, he was the kid singing the national anthem at the Red Sox game where Rich got the finger from Jesse Orozco.
All these stories connect, Ryan. It's a crazy web that we weave, but it's there.
If you were one of the 12 people who saw Osmosis Jones, he played Zachary, the kid who gave Bill Murray the bad oyster at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, and he was like explaining a science project to him or something.
Yes.
This same kid was in the Stuck on Me, no, Stuck on You.
Yes.
Deleted scenes.
Yep.
And he was supposed to be in Something About Mary, but he wasn't.
Yeah, because his father actually grew up with the Farrelly brothers, which is actually correct. Yep.
But he was also an actor. Like, he wasn't just like a friend. No, like, he was an actor.
He was a legit actor.
Anyway.
Anyway, so we digress. Stanley,
born December 28th, 1922 in New York City. He died November 12th, 2018 in Los Angeles. He really is, I would say, considered like the godfather of Marvel Comics, which got its start all the way back in 1939 as Timely Comics. It was then referred to as Atlas Comics, and then finally Marvel Comics, 1961. And it was really Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko. Like, if you go back to all these like old school classic characters, they really all trace back to like three or four guys that kind of like created them all together. And I think it got kind of like bitter at the end because Jack Kirby passed away years ago. He passed away in like 1994. And that's actually a guy that doesn't get a fraction of the credit that he deserves.
No, you know, because he passed, you know, well before this was a thing. Like the comic books, I guess you could call it like the golden age of like comic book movies, not the golden age of comics, but he saw, you know, 89 Batman and maybe Batman Returns. So he kind of saw a little bit of that, but not what it is today, you know?
Cause like, he was right there with Stan Lee as it relates to like the Fantastic Four and Hulk and X-Men, and he was also Captain America. So like, yeah, if Jack Kirby was still here now, like to see Chris Evans and like all that stuff, like that would have been pretty nuts. One of the things though, Ryan, that like really differentiates Marvel and DC, especially early on back then, was DC had Metropolis and Gotham City and Star City and Central City. Whereas a lot of the Marvel characters were in New York,
here we are, real city.
And like, I think a lot of people like that really kind of connected them to it. Cause it was like, oh cool. Like here's Spider-Man in like bouncing around New York City.
Yeah. And I think one of the other lasting things that Stan Lee did and, you know, all his team at Marvel did was introducing characters that weren't necessarily completely comfortable with it. I mean, you had DC had, you know, I go to Superman all the time and Wonder Woman and all these characters who are kind of like, you know, unbreakable. And you have a character like Tony Stark who struggles with substance abuse. You have a kid like Peter Parker who doesn't necessarily comfortable in the superhero role and struggles with that. You know,
Hank something Pym he never, hit his wife.
What's that?
I said Hank Pym hit his wife.
Oh, yeah. Hank Pym. Like, and like these are not superheroes that you would usually, you know, like a Superman or, you know, at the time in those comics where they were these kind of like perfect characters, like these best versions of what a human being is. And then, you know, that team at Marvel comes in and they're like, no, these people actually have flaws and you're drawn to these characters because they're actually like real people too, you know? And that doesn't get enough credit. I think that's one of those things that gets missed is that was, you know, Stan Lee's lasting contribution to, you know, the comic world. And again, you know, I know he wasn't alone in this whole venture, but that kind of thing where, you know, heroes are, you know, have their issues too.
And what's really cool too is where like the origin stories and how like the classic character has to have a classic origin, whether it's Hulk, Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, Daredevil, But then also he was there for the X-Men. So it got to the point where you're like, all right, not all these people need to have like gamma ray accidents or like, you know what I mean? Like they didn't have to have a super, they didn't have to have a spider bite them, like a radioactive spider bite them. Like now you're just born mutants. And so for him to do that, like that just opened it up. Like you're like, all right, we don't need, like we can create a superpower for like this next character, but we don't have to come up with this like insane background. We can just say, yeah, he was born that way. Like he's a mutant too.
And what's crazy to me too is, you know, the whole reason that X-Men were created, the whole the comic of X-Men was created was because Stan Lee was, if you've read anything, you know, that's coming out now, his stance on racism in the 60s, 50s and 60s, and he was very much opposed to the idea of racism and people who were being marginalized, just they were just born that way. And that's kind of where the idea of X-Men came into play, is that these people who were shunned for something they had no control over, and now they're becoming heroes and they're becoming people who are, you know, worthy of.
It really is pretty amazing because, like, you know, on the surface, like, oh, comics, like, those are, it's like, it's cartoons and it's for kids and it's silly. And you're like, yeah, like, there's definitely some of that, but it also means kind of what you want it to mean. And, like, for a lot of people, there was that where you're like, hey, I feel different. And, like, now there's all these, like, sweet characters who also feel different. And, like, they are different, but, like, look what they're doing. And I understand how silly that can sound, but people can really get into it. And you can find inspiration in anything. And, like, you're reading a comic book about, you know, the X-Men and, like, how people are treating them. And you're like, yeah, that's kind of like me or, like, whatever. Like, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and to think that comics were like throwaway things. They were meant to be funny. They were meant to be, you know, just kind of like for little kids and, or, you know, in the case of Superman, like propaganda, you know.
yeah.
Something that people didn't really take seriously. And now it's, you take these things seriously. Like, you know, when you look at the Time magazine of 10 best or like 100 best novels of all time, and Watchmen is on that list.
And it should be.
And that's a graphic novel. And I don't think that comics become popular without Stan Lee. And I granted, like, Alan Moore is going to be a successful writer in whatever he does. But the fact that he chose that medium after reading Marvel Comics and reading DC Comics, I think that's an important thing.
Yeah. You know, what's crazy to me is when you look at the characters that Stan Lee is responsible for, or at least partly responsible for, like, any one of them, like, you could hang your hat on and you'd be famous. Like, if you created Spider-Man, that's all it really needs to be. Like, oh, you created Spider-Man. Like, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, retire now. You did a great job. One of the most iconic characters of all time. Good for you. And you're like, oh, wait a minute, there's more? You're like, yeah, I also created Iron Man. You're like, oh, wow, Iron Man and Spider-Man? You're like, yeah, well, and Hulk. You're like, and Hulk? You're like, yeah, and Daredevil. And all of the Fantastic Four, Black Panther, the X-Men, and the idea of the Avengers. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, it's just, it's an insane list when you go down. And then there are even, he got to the point where he was, like, so high up at Marvel, where even some of the other characters that would go in there and he would sort of help out with. And so, like, he didn't create the Punisher, but he either came up with the name or at least was like, he greenlit the name and was like, yeah, let's go with that. Or like he had his hands in so many of the Marvel characters that were created in like the 60s that we're still seeing on in movies today,
which is it can't be understated. And I know it's more of a complex history than what we're giving it, but
yeah, it is.
You know, I'm just still blown away by that whole list. And the fact that he created Spider-Man when he was 40 years old.
Yeah.
Is fascinating to me. Like, he spent all that time in comic books and creating kind of, but his arguably his most lucrative and biggest character that, you know, of Spider-Man, he didn't come up with until he was 40 years old.
No, it's wild.
Yeah.
And like, for me, I don't know how you were, but for me, I was always growing up more of a Marvel fan. Like, I had more Marvel comics. I had more Marvel posters. I like, you know, the cards. Remember, I had that whole collection of cards.
Yeah, you had the whole,
like,
the trading cards. Yeah,
I had all the trading cards. I was like obsessed with Marvel. I like DC. I was always a fan of Batman, but I thought there were more. I thought the roster was deeper for Marvel, and I was such a big X-Men fan. Like, I remember being super into X-Men, and in fact, me and Sharks our like AAU basketball team, maybe it was right before AAU, but either way, it was like right around there. And Shark's dad was the coach, and so we had this team like we created, and he was like, we were kicking around names for the team, and we're like X-Men. And so we were the X-Men for like 2 or 3 years in basketball. And it was sad. I remember teams, kids would be like, are you guys the X-Men? We're like, yeah, we're the fucking X-Men. Like, yeah, get over it.
But yeah, those kids are probably like sweet or like nerds.
I was obsessed with Marvel. Yeah, we were nerds, but we were also good at basketball, as it turns out. But so I loved Marvel. And then later on, like once I really dove into all of like the Batman graphic novels, like I realized, I'm like, you know what? If you're stacking up comics, I think DC overall has better stories, really, because of Batman. But then the movies, it's really not close. Like the movies, it's obviously Marvel.
It's not close. And for me, it was kind of the same thing. Like you get Marvel's the hook. And then I, you know, started becoming more of a Batman fan like later in life, like more towards like my adult life. Because if you remember, you know, they had like those movies, and the first two movies were really cool, the Burton movies. And then they kind of sucked for like a long time. And, you know, you didn't really want to tell people you were
for sure.
Yeah. And you didn't want to tell people you were a Batman fan, you know, for a little while. Right. And then, so then I circled back around to it and, you know, started, for fun, you know, I reading all the Miller, like Frank Miller stuff. And, you know, that's kind of when you come around to it back again. But again, Marvel has been consistent in my life for, you know, the better part of like, I'm not kidding, like almost 30 years. You know, of my life just being around Marvel Comics, and whether it be, you know, comics.
What do you think is the best Marvel story? Like the best like graphic novel with Marvel characters?
I mean, the original Civil War is really good.
I like Civil War. I like Old Man Logan.
I really love Old Man Logan.
I think, honestly, we talked about it last week on the Netflix Daredevil. I think Daredevil Born Again and Man Without Fear are right up there for me.
Yeah, and for me, I'm looking at...
Oh, you know what one's really good is Marvel 1602 by Neil Gaiman.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of with Neil Gaiman.
That one's sick. Yeah, that one's really good, actually.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites, too.
Have you read Marvels?
I have not.
Marvels is really good. Check that one out. Marvels is good. It's got like most of the universe in that one.
Carnage. I remember the very first one that I was like absolutely hooked was this series, the Ultimate Carnage series with Spider-Man, Venom, and Carnage. That was like when I was first hooked into Marvel. That was it. That's for good. Sure.
Well, so's like World War Hulk and Planet Hulk. Those are good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they definitely have their stuff. I even like, as goofy as it is, or as sort of like outer spacey as it is, like the Infinity War stuff is good. Is Infinity Gauntlet is good. The other ones are a little nuts.
It gets a little crazy.
They get a little out there. And even some of the Guardians of the Galaxy, like once they really, and by the way, so Stan Lee was one of the creators of Groot, like going all the way back to Groot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he just has his hands on so much stuff. And you know what's funny too is I think what really got Marvel Comics, like put them on the map and got them going, and it's almost ironic in a sense, is Fantastic Four, who now are like the forgotten kind of shitty, like all these other characters. Like, could you imagine, like, take like middle school version of you and be like, hey, in 2018, like Marvel's going to be the most popular thing in the world, and the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to be the most popular characters, and nobody's going to want to see a Fantastic Four movie.
I'd be like, what? Like, you're out of your mind.
Like, the Fantastic Four was the Mount Rushmore of Marvel for a while. It was like, just those four. Like, these are the four best characters we have.
And now they've been out of print for a while. They're actually rebooting the Fantastic Four. Like, they've been out of print, which is...
Yeah, they weren't even... Right, it's one thing not to have canceled a movie about you, but to not even be having a series in comics about you is nuts.
And by the way, I made a mistake. I said Ultimate Carnage. Everyone hopefully knows I meant Maximum Carnage.
Oh, Maximum Carnage.
By the way, and that's when I first discovered like art, and I realized that like after John Romita Jr., like Mark Bagley is like one of my favorite Spider-Man artists with the huge eyes and kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
He definitely has like a style. So not Ultimate, but Maximum Carnage.
Maximum Carnage. I'll clean that up in post.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so much stuff that he is connected, like Black Panther, and just down the line that he's been connected to. And now the other thing, obviously, is all the cameos that he has been in. Like, that is sort of take on a life of its own.
Right.
Like, waiting to see who Stan Lee is going to play in everything, by the way, which I love. Like, if somebody talks to you about Stan Lee cameos, it's not just MCU movies. Like, it goes back to Fox properties, Sony properties. You'll even see him on, like, posters in the Netflix Marvel shows. Like, it's everything. But maybe one of his best performances, and I think I want to say the first time I ever saw Stan Lee in person, and by in person I mean on a movie, was Mallrats.
Oh yeah, yeah, and
I
that
think
was
for me. That was it. I probably saw Mallrats like in middle school or whatever it was, and like I had heard the name, I'd read plenty of Marvel comics at that point, but I didn't know what he looked like. I didn't know what he sounded like. And then that scene with him and Brody, which, first of all, Brody is, he'd be in the Dork Hall of Fame. Like, he's like Randy Meeks. Like, he'd be right in there.
Yeah.
Between the Sega and then the comic book stuff, like, he would absolutely be in there. But that scene in Mallrats is fantastic.
And the whole thing, yeah, the whole thing with the kryptonite condom, talking about how Superman and Lois Lane could have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fantastic conversation. And one that, well, you know,
yeah,
you know you had, you know.
Oh, of course you did. And the other ones that he asked him about, was he asked if the thing, if his dork is made of rock, and he asked if Mr. Fantastic, you know, can with his dick. And I would say yes to both of those.
And Stanley's very good. Like, back then we had a code for those things. We don't really talk about it. And that was actually
like, want to answer it. But yeah. Ryan, if his dick wasn't made of rock, how weird would that look?
That's the craziest, like, now I have that in my head. I have that burned in my head.
If the thing had like a human penis, it would be worse, wouldn't it?
And to like, and to scale, like the normal size he was.
Just like a dude's dick.
It would look like
you're a giant rock monster and you have a human penis for some reason.
Even if it was a normal one. Like, even if it, like, you were like, that's average, but then you turn into the thing and you're like, oh.
It's in there somewhere. So how do you think, like, do you think the thing can make love?
Just how you asked me that is the most ridiculous thing ever.
What do you mean? Do you or do you not think the thing could make love? Because he has a relationship in the one movie with the puppet master's daughter.
Can the thing make thick and warm? Is it what you're asking me, right?
Can the thing make thick and warm in the warm? And first of all, you're on board with rock penis, right? It has to be.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be uncomfortable for anybody, you know?
But somebody would be willing.
There's a lid for every pot, Richard. There really is. But
I mean, right?
Some people are into it.
So I think some people would ask for it by name. The other one is Mr. Fantastic. And that's another situation where for sure, right? It's not just arms and legs. Because the giveaway there is like his fingers and his nose and everything else can also extend.
Well, my issue is like, with Mr. Fantastic, and I might be in the minority here, but the reason, you know, those are all things you can move on your own, like your arms, legs, neck, feet, hands, like those are all things you can move on your own.
Well, let me stop you right there.
It's like that scene in The Office where Dwight Schrute's like, I can actually retract my penis up into itself. And he kind of makes the face like, there I go, I just did it.
Or like an Anchorman. I'm taking it in right now.
It's the pleats.
So you're suggesting that would remain the same?
I would, for everyone's sake, everyone involved, I hope so.
Mm. Do you think we're going to see the Fantastic Four on the big screen anytime soon?
Not anytime soon, but I'm really intrigued as to, you know, the reason I'm so invested in Infinity War and all of these things and everything this has been building to is there's got to be, I mean, they have to reset some stuff after this.
Are you a little scared on what's going to happen? Because I feel like you're going to, like, outer space, and, like, from there, and, like, because now it's going to be really tough to make a movie, and you're like, oh, this guy's got to stop that bank robber, and you're like, well, no, Thanos just destroyed half of the population. Like, yeah. And once you get to the point where all these superheroes are friends with each other, like, I love it, you love it, we all love shared universes, but then it's like no problem can really be that bad for one person because you would call a friend or you'd call several friends.
Yeah.
So aren't they getting to the point where the thing is going to burst? Or I guess, as you said, like, it's going to have to reset somehow.
Or, you know, we do another large scale civil war where now, like, after this whole thing, like, now they're at each other again, you know?
Yeah, that, or like in DC where they have like the Earth 2 situation where it's right. Like, all right, like, that's that. And now we're over here. Like, they're going to have to do something because, like, after Avengers 4, I feel like the stakes are going to be just so big.
Yeah, you can't really – you got to kind of go small again, right?
Yeah, I think so, because some of those movies are great. Like, but they become more difficult to take seriously if you're playing in the bigger universe.
Yeah.
You know, so – but going back to Stan Lee's cameos, it actually, believe it or not, started in the X-Men movies. You remember he was the guy on the beach? He was like the hot dog vendor?
Oh, yes, I do now. I do now,
The first X-Men movie, which came out in 2000. So a lot of the attention goes to the MCU movies because he keeps popping up. And, you know, every time you're in the theater, people applaud and they go nuts for it. But it actually started in that Fox X-Men movie, which I know it came out after Blade, but it was really the jumping off point for holy shit, people want to see comic book movies.
Yeah. And that, it's so I would say X-Men and, you know, the Raimi Spider-Mans are what kind of brought those,
which
back
he was
to
also
life.
In. And so if you like the cameos, and most people do, you need to thank Bryan Singer for asking him to be in X-Men 1. Just be like, hey, it's Stan Lee. He invented the X-Men. Let's have him in there. So he did a cameo. And then Sam Raimi had him in the first Spider-Man. And then from there, they were off and running. He was in he was in the Ben Affleck Daredevil. He was in your boy Ang Lee's Hulk.
Yep.
He was in Spider-Man 2. He was in the first Fantastic Four, the Jessica Alba Fantastic Four, Chris Evans Fantastic Four, and he actually played Willy Lumpkin in that one, which if you read the Fantastic Four comics, you know Willy Lumpkin's always at the Baxter Building there. And then from there, he was in Spider-Man 3. He was in Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. You remember that one? He was trying to go to Mr. Fantastic Invisible Woman's wedding, and they were like, no, you don't have a ticket or whatever, or like you're not allowed in
here. At the very beginning,
yeah.
Good.
Then he was in Iron Man. So
was at the end.
It's like, all right, here we go. Now he's in the MCU. But think about that, though. He was in, what, 6-7 movies before the MCU even started.
Right. Which is, it's unbelievable, man. Like, it's unbelievable. And again, so late in life, you know, he's been an old man for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Then he was in The Incredible Hulk, the Edward Norton movie. And then you keep going. He was in Iron Man 2. He was in Thor. He was in the first Captain America. He was in The Avengers. But then he's also, the same year he was in The Avengers, he was in The Amazing Spider-Man, which I love because it's like, all right, The Avengers is clearly an MCU movie. The Amazing Spider-Man, you're not even sure what the hell it is, but it's a Sony property. But he also pops up in that. So he's like the one guy that can go in wherever.
Yeah, and that was one of my favorite cameos.
Three? What?
That was one of my favorite cameos when he was the librarian with the headphones on and they were fighting around him.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
That was definitely a good one. Let's see. After Iron Man 3, where he was a pageant judge, he was in Thor the Dark World. I mean, he also, along the while, is popping up in TV shows, too, like Avengers of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's in Winter Soldier. He's in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which is a dump of a movie. He was in Guardians, which was great. That was the one, remember when he was like hitting on like a young girl?
Yes.
That was a pretty funny one. But then he was in Agent Carter. He was in Age of Ultron. He was in Ant-Man. He was in Deadpool. Deadpool was a really good one.
That was a good one. He was the strip club DJ. Yeah.
Was it Chastity? Who do you call onto the stage?
I think so, yeah.
He was in Captain America Civil War. He was in X-Men Apocalypse. He was in Doctor Strange. Let's see. Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Let's stop on that one for a second.
Because this is, if you're asking, like, favorite Stan Lee cameos, I think this is my favorite one.
I agree. This is also my favorite, where he is either he's either the Watcher or he's like just works for the Watcher or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea that you're like, all right, this is perfect. Like, because this is a character they haven't used yet. It's like a weird character. You put him in there and you're like, all right, that explains why he's in all of these movies. And they all are, even if they're in different like Earths or whatever, like fine. Like he sees all of it. And so everything that he was doing was for a reason. Like that would, whoever came up with that, it might've been James Gunn. I don't know. Perfect. Perfect idea.
And it was perfect because he's explaining, he's like, oh, and then that one time they had me on this place and I was doing this and I was an astronaut. Like, so not only are all of these universes connected, but that Stan Lee character is the same. It's the same guy in every single movie.
I love it. I love it. Like that was perfect. Like what a great payoff. Think about it. When he did Guardians 2, that was 17 years after he did X-Men.
That's nuts.
Amazing. And like a million roles. So that was perfect. So I love that. Then the same year he's in Spider-Man Homecoming, he was in Thor Ragnarok, where he was the barber, mm-hmm. which was pretty good. He was in an episode of The Runaways. He was in Black Panther. He was in Infinity War as the bus driver. He was in Ant-Man and the Wasp. He was even in Venom. Remember? He was in Venom, for God's sake.
He was in Venom.
And let's not forget, he was in the Spider-Man PS4 game.
Which is, you know, that was incredible to see. You wondering how they're going to do that, you know, and then he winds up being. And what's amazing about Stan Lee is you knew the voice as soon as you heard it. Because they had his voice first.
Yeah.
Talking to Mary Jane, and then you turn the camera on him, and it's just this beautifully rendered, like mocap of him.
I was gonna say, I think we said it at the time on the podcast that we did. If you're playing that game, you can check out in the archives. We did a whole episode on Spider-Man for PS4, but like nobody looked more realistic than Stan Lee in that game. It was insane,
and that was done with great care, and just speaks to the job that team at Insomniac and Marvel Games did. It was incredible. And still, like, with the Video Game Awards Game of the Year coming out, that's getting that, and I'm torn between, I'm leaning towards Spider-Man for obvious reasons, but that and God of War in terms of that kind of thing, attention to detail, it's just incredible.
Yeah. I'm telling you, we're going to have good nominations for Game of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good ones, but that one's right there at the top, but... Yeah, so Venom was the most recent, but then there's questions about upcoming cameos. I think the Russo brothers kind of confirmed that he already filmed for Avengers 4, so I expect him to be in there. I guess the questions will be, will he find a way into Captain Marvel, Spider-Man Far From Home, or even Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which comes out later this year. I have a feeling he's going to be in at least half of them. I think they filmed a bunch of these.
They filmed a bunch of these, and I think someone said they film a bunch of his cameos like in one shot because he doesn't like to fly. He never liked to fly.
Right.
So they like to film them all like kind of in one shot.
Mm-hmm.
Or all of them, because they know the Russo brothers and Kevin Feige, they know the script, you know, so they can just be like, all right, this is the scene that we're going to work in, and, you know.
Well, Ryan, we'll get to a few emails of the episode, which I want to try to start to do here going forward. Dorkpodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up. Email us about anything. It doesn't have to be related to the topic du jour. It can be about anything, and we'll try to answer. I'll try to grab one an episode. That way we can kind of spread them out. And so please do that. Again, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Anything else on Stan Lee? I mean, the man, obviously, he was the best. He's gonna be missed. We're gonna see him in the cameo. He'll live on in the cameos, which is really cool though. And like you'll be able to see him in those going forward. And when you go back and you're watching these movies again, like you're gonna, you know, every time you see him, I think that'll be pretty cool.
And what'll be cool too is being a dad. And you know, my dad, you know, was the first person to show me the first movie I ever saw in the theater was Return of the Jedi. So I think I was like 3. Mm-hmm. But whatever.
Probably, yeah.
Fell asleep.
Or 2, but, even. You're, yeah.
Yeah, it was 84, so I was like almost 3 or like turning 3. Or, I was little. Mm. And so my dad like gave that to me, and I can't wait to like, you know, show my girls these movies and she'll be like, oh, who's that guy? And I'm like, tell them that it's Stan Lee. And I can tell them, you know, who Stan Lee was, and, you know, that's something that I'll enjoy talking to them about for sure. But definitely, like, again, I told you, like, on the last podcast, like, they hit me a lot harder than I thought it would have. Mm-hmm. You know, I never met the guy, and I had my opportunity to and missed it. And that's sad. But
I know, like, that is one. And, like, you know, we'd been to a lot of Comic-Cons, and we talked about how we were kind of like the Comic-Con, like, angel of death.
Yeah.
And there was a few, and, like, yeah, like, it would have been cool to meet Adam West. It would have been cool to meet some of these other guys. But, I mean, Stan Lee sort of stands above all of them. You know, I mean, it's just, it is different.
You know, we really missed out on Tara Reid. And
pick of the pod. No, she's not. Is that not right?
She's not dead. Just her career.
Well, and not to kiss and tell, Ryan, but the time I made love to Tawny Kitaen.
Oh, telepathically? Yes.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right.
They had to bring her down in a wheelchair.
I thought I had a pretty good chance.
Yeah. Oh boy.
There's also the lady that read my palm, speaking of making love.
Oh, we couldn't. Yeah, oh boy. Where's that video? I gotta dig that up again.
You might want to delete that video before my wife sees it. man, yeah, but yeah, he was. Well, it's funny that you say that, because I was having this conversation the other day about when, like, famous people die and people get, like, all, like, emotional about it. And I'm always like, what do you, like, you never met him. Like, right. I just don't really get it. And like, maybe I'm just cold that way, but I'm like, yeah, I don't really know. Like, and it's too bad, but like, how does it really affect you day to day? But I was having that conversation with my wife, and she really liked Anthony Bourdain. Like, she loved, like, you know, cause she's so in, like, she's a chef, so she's into food, but she also loves to travel. And, like, so the whole combination, like, she loved the show, and, like, that one kind of, like, got to her. She's like, oh man, like, I really liked him. And I'm like, really? I'm like, I know you liked him, but you don't know him. Like, what difference does it make?
Right.
But, like, when you say that with Stan Lee, it does. I mean, it makes a little bit of sense. Like, he's 95, so you're not going to, like, it's not like, oh my God, what an injustice. But you're right. Yeah. It's just kind of weird, you know?
Yeah, right.
So yeah, that's that on Stan Lee. So you guys can, again, email us or tweet us at Dork Podcast. You know, your favorite. Here's a question. I already know the answer.
What?
I was going to say, who's your favorite Stan Lee character? But obviously it's Spider-Man.
Yeah, come on, man.
I was like, yeah, let me stop you right there. I think for me, it would probably be, I think it's Iceman.
You do love to use some Iceman.
I've always loved Iceman. I think the X-Men in general are my favorite of the characters that Stan created or co-created. I also, and thanks in large part to the series and then also what Frank Miller did, like, I do love Daredevil. Like, I'm a big Daredevil fan as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to the email of the episode. I actually cheated. I grabbed a couple here. So here's a couple emails of the episode. This first one comes in from Jay. He says, guys, enjoyed the Daredevil episode and agree with the praise given to it. He goes, did you not find the God talk insufferable? I enjoyed the villains far more than the protagonists. Matt Murdock during the first half of the season reminded me of emo Kylo Ren. Jay. The God talk, for me, never got overboard. I guess I can understand for some that it did, but I do think for the Daredevil character specifically, especially with his mom being a nun. I was trying to say mom and nun at the same time. Classic mix up.
Classic.
So his mom, I guess, is what he would say. I thought it was just right. Like, there's going to be a lot of that, but that's sort of the point. And if you saw the teasers for it, it was always like Bible verses, so like you kind of knew it was going to be religious, but I didn't think it was nuts.
And like you said, I think it was central to who that character is and the motivation. Yeah. Had Matt Murdock not been raised the way that he was in his faith, you know, that would have been a completely different series. Like, I think, and this is going to sound, you know, that character, if not Catholic, like, offs himself, you know?
Yeah, you might be right.
But I think that played so deeply into that character that it made sense to me that they had those types of talks and talked openly about it. And
right.
If they just decided to make Matt Murdock a Catholic, I think that would have been a little overboard for me. But if you're a fan, and I'm not saying the person who wrote the email isn't a fan.
No,
what I'm saying is like, if you've read all those things, you understand that that's kind of important to who Matt Murdock is.
Well, think about, like, the greatest graphic novel ever of Daredevil. I mean, maybe some people think it's ever, but just of Daredevil is, first of all, it's called Born Again.
Yeah.
So you have that aspect of it, and then one of the greatest fights of all time for Daredevil takes place inside of a church. So like there's a lot there. And I mean the devil himself is obviously,
yeah,
you know, a Catholic Church thing. Let's see. Chris, actually, I'm not going to read the whole email. It was a long email, but it was a great email. Long story short for Chris, he is still weeks later terrified of the haunting of Hill House. His laundry room is in the basement, and he says he refuses to go down there. He says he would rather buy new clothes than do laundry in the basement.
So, you got to watch out for those fans.
I'll tell you what, Chris, you're not wrong. It is, to me, more scary than, like, so I saw Halloween in theaters, and I haven't thought about it since. Like, we did the podcast on it. I'm like, all right, it was, like, I liked it enough. Like, fine. Michael Myers doesn't scare me. But the idea, like, when I'm laying in bed at night, I'm sort of similar to Chris, I think. Like, I'll be laying there pitch black, and I'm like, I open my eye. And you know how, actually, it's not pitch black. It's like you see, like, a little bit of the light. And I'm like, if bent neck lady is standing on the end of my bed, I am going to freak the fuck out.
Oh, we're done. We're done there. Yep.
We're done with that. But don't you kind of feel like that is way more scary to me. And Chris was saying in his email too, like he has every light in his house on at night after 5 o'clock, he turns every light on. I'm like, you're not wrong.
You're not wrong. Not wrong.
And then the last thing here, Ryan, our buddy Mac from the Mac and Goo podcast. This was actually a text, so it's kind of a cheat. It's kind of not really an email. It's the email of the episode. He was basically asking, what's our worst hashtag dork opinion?
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, if I still feel the same way, I would refuse to call it the worst. Like, I would obviously stand right by whatever. So let me kind of alter the question. Any opinion that you have had since we've done hashtag dork that you would like to amend?
I wish I wasn't so hard. This is not excusing the film, mind you.
Here we go.
I wish I wasn't so hard on Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Now,
some people think that's our best episode, and maybe it was because you hated it so much.
And it's not that. I just felt that it was lazy and it kind of pandered. I'm a big believer in story, and the only thing that didn't work in that stories. In that, you know, the sweet dino action was there. Chris Pratt was being Chris Pratt.
Thank you, Ryan. That's all I wanted you to say that episode, and you wouldn't say it.
But I thought
the sweet dino action was sweet,
but the story sucked. And that's what I go to see movies for. And if that makes me a snob for caring about plot.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ryan. You go to see dinosaur movies for the story? Are you high on drugs right now?
I don't want to get into this again.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, my name's Ryan, and I went to go see Jurassic World for the story.
No, what I'm saying is you don't need to treat the audience like they're idiots.
You're
what
making
I'm saying.
It worse. You're making it worse.
Give the audience a little bit more credit.
Yeah, I'm really upset that Jurassic World wasn't Citizen Kane.
Well, Richard, bringing it back full circle.
You're a coward.
No, let me bring it back full circle and use your own logic against you.
Okay.
There is, think of like Marvel movies that Stan Lee is ultimately responsible for. They give you the sweet, sweet action without sacrificing story.
There is a lot of good story.
So there.
There's a lot of good story. Fair enough.
And people would say the same thing. Oh, you're going to see a superhero movie and you care about story? Like, fuck yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Fight me.
Yeah, but I am also there for the sweet Marvel action as well.
Yeah, I guess so. But you know what?
You know,
the dino action was sweet. If I were to amend the score, I give it a 2?
No, you gave it like a 0. Like, you were really down on it.
I'll give it a 3.
Yeah, you don't need to move the score. I'm just asking, or Mac was asking the question, what was the worst dork opinion?
You know, I wasn't mad at Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I was just disappointed.
No, I understand. I'll tell you what, for me, I tried to talk myself too much into Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I think that was my biggest problem. I tried to talk, I was like, you know what? Not that bad. Harley Quinn was good. Deadshot was surprisingly good. But it is a terrible film, and I was way too easy on it. I don't know why. Maybe I think what it was is I was so happy that they made a villain starring movie, which has like never really happened.
Right.
And so I was like, I love the fact that they took a chance on it. And I actually did like Will Smith and Margot Robbie. I thought they were both good, but the movie does suck out loud.
Now let
so
me that, ask you, just for why does that movie stink?
Why does it stink?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the villain is terrible, or like sure. they're all villains, but like the main, like the Enchantress thing and whatever all that was is bad. Joker was used really poorly.
Oh.
Why else was it? Oh, was it something else?
Did you see where I'm going with this, Richard?
Oh, there's no story.
Do you see what I'm teeing you up for?
There's no story.
There's no story there.
But guess
so
what?
So you're if going the, to see a movie about fake villains and you want to see a story?
Let
what
me
are
stop
you, stupid?
I don't sound like that, one. And two, if the CGI was better and if the characters weren't so bad, I probably would have liked it more. Or you know what? Or if you just got rid of the Joker altogether.
Yeah, like
you
Richard,
bring him in and you tease us.
Yeah, but right. Richard, there was explosions and stuff, right. So it's okay. Good. I liked it.
Okay, all right, hard ass. Let me ask you about this. You liked Last Jedi so much. How good sure was do. That story?
It has its problems, poop. But...
It was a poopsicle.
It was a frozen poop. A poop on a stick that was frozen. That's what it was. It wasn't. It was not.
It was served raw, is what it was.
What are you, an asshole coward? You like stories?
What are you, an open asshole? Very graphic.
Very graphic. Sorry, we're getting at each other here.
I do like stories. I'm a big fan of the Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. It was a good story.
Just a good amount of racism in that book. Just the right amount. Little,
can they still teach that in school?
We do. We actually do.
Do you edit it?
Nope.
Do you say, hey, don't repeat that?
Do you know? Yeah, we do. So, well, high school kids, so hopefully we don't have to say that. But
true.
When someone does something wrong, Richard, and we look at it as a group, we call those teachable moments.
Yeah, they really are. I've had a few of those in my time. Yeah. I told the story today about, did you see that scene in the Pittsburgh Steelers locker room where they were all like raiding Le'Veon Bell's stuff?
Yeah.
So I was telling the story on the air today about how it was either junior or senior year of basketball, and one of the kids on our team. And so back then, and maybe probably still now, they're like, hey, whatever jersey number you are, like, here's your jersey, and then here are the matching shorts for it. And so, right. like, so if your jersey's a large, you're getting large shorts. Like, that's just how it goes. Mm-hmm. So, like, two or three games into the season, one of the kids on our team got kicked off the team for drugs. And he was a big kid. He was like one of our centers on the team. And so coach comes in, he's talking to us. It's like, we're like all huddled around. And he's like, hey, by the way, like so-and-so, he broke the rules and blah, blah, blah. So he's off the team. And like, before anybody could move, I go, I got dibs on his shorts. And they're like, they go, what? I go, yeah, he's got the extra large shorts. I go, these shorts aren't baggy enough. I'm like, give me those shorts. And they're like, oh my Christ. And then the rest of the season, I got the shorts. They're like, they weren't being used. So I wore the sweet baggy shorts.
So quick to jump in the kid's grave. Like so quick.
First of all, not that good of a player. And then you can't not do drugs during the season. Like if it's that important to you, don't do drugs during the season.
Come on. Remember those kids doing drugs in your dorm your freshman year, almost burned the dorm down?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
I
also remember kids in my dorm doing like a ton of cocaine, and yet our head of house was mad at us for playing video games so much.
Which,
I'm like, well, or you could go two floors up and stop getting mad at us for playing Tekken, and you can go up there and stop the kids from doing booger sugar.
They got that white girl up there, you know?
I mean, I'm no narc, so I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking. I was like, you know what? Could be worse. Could be worse. The goddamn video games. Get off my back about the video games.
Yeah.
And he's anyway, like, stop playing video. What are you mad at the video games?
That's actually not how that guy. That's not how that guy talked. But
hey, there's no story in the video games. Tell me a story, stupid.
I'll tell you a story. How about that Catcher in the Rye? Did you ever read that?
I'm teaching that book right now.
All a bunch of phonies.
Oh yeah.
You're all a bunch of phonies. That guy seems like he had some problems, but
yeah.
Anyway, Ryan, anything else anything else you want to hit on here?
Story is king, as always.
What do you want to do next week? Just the list of the best stories?
Yeah, let's do best stories, hands down. Let's do it.
what an episode title.
Let's have
best stories.
Let's have a hour-long episode on continuity and why it matters.
Continuity. Well, all of the dork episodes tie together. You can go back, just pour through the archives. They're all related. They all connect.
Character and plot development for you dum-dums.
Yeah.
That's what right. We're going to do.
Everybody's an idiot.
No, everyone's not an idiot. People are way smarter than me. Great. But
oh, by the way, we got this week, and like I check it every once in a while just for shits and gigs. That would be the iTunes ratings, rankings. Sure. This week we popped the top 200 rating.
200, ranking. Baby!
Hey, look who's back, baby! One of the best podcasts in the world, baby! And it's because of you guys. You guys, listen to this right now. It's because of you. You son of a bitch. You did it.
And yes, but if you're listening to this on your radio, your headphones, you're listening to this work, we are talking directly to you.
We're talking
glorious,
to you.
You glorious, spectacular son of a bitch. You.
We're talking to you, Steve. Bob,
Carl,
Mike,
with a K.
Carl with a K, and Carl with a C, Sandy, Leon. That's why it's a catcher for the Red Sox.
He is a catcher for the Red Sox.
That's one guy, listens. Jackass.
Yeah.
Ryan, next week we have, I think, an opening.
We got an opening. Free play.
So we do. We have a free play. So get in there. You can email us. We'll probably come up with an idea on our own, but we do encourage you to email us nonetheless, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Also, tell a friend. Tell a friend about what's going on here at Hashtag Dork. Get more people listening to Hashtag Dork, because now you'll have somebody to talk to about what you listen to, right? It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and you gotta point your finger in their chest and say, like, why aren't you listening, you dummy?
Really stick it in there, right where it kind of hurts, like where it's a little sensitive, yep. Right there, like, in the center of the chest,
right where the what do they call it, the xiphoid process, that little piece of bone.
That's exactly what they
just,
call
just
it.
Stick your finger right in there.
You listen to Dork? Why not? What's the matter with you?
Wait, what are you,
it's
some
available
sort of
on
asshole?
Most podcast locations,
yeah,
such as iTunes, where you can leave us a review, you can subscribe to the podcast, do all of that. It's very nice. What else we got? Twitter at Dork Podcast. We got the youtube.com/Dork Podcast. I don't know what to do on the goddamn YouTube, but we'll figure something out. We'll get something on there.
I love ghetto streaming is my favorite thing.
I should go back to the ghetto stream. I ghetto streamed Sonic the Hedgehog 2 for like close to an hour, but I didn't beat the game. And I was just like, do I really want to post this? Like, I got super far, obviously. I played for an hour with no continues, and I'm just like, I don't even know if I want to post this. So there's that.
You know, you can stream on YouTube, right? Like, you can stream on YouTube. You know that, right?
Yeah, but not on the way my Nintendo's set up.
No, you can't. But
yeah,
that's going to take some legwork, but you can do that.
There you go. Thank you, doctor. What else? Oh, you be twitching.
We be twitching tonight, every Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. We be doing it.
Tuesday, Thursday, Friday?
Yep.
Is that the schedule?
That's right. The schedule for now. With the way it stands right now, that, you know, when vacations come up, those are all subject to change. But those will be posted on Twitter at Arvon D.
And it's Movember.
Movember.
Throw Davey a couple of bucks. It's going to a good place. Yep. You know, we don't ask for much here on the goddamn podcast. Throw him a couple of bucks. I'm going to
kill
you.
And I will. All those links are on I have them on my Twitch, my Twitch page, my Twitter page. Those links are everywhere. If you guys want to do that, I am very close to my goal. So of $2,000 for the month. So nice. Please, if you have the means, please consider donating to that.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to Hashtag Dork. It does mean a lot to me and Davey, so we appreciate that. We'll keep pumping out the sweet content for you, so don't worry about that. I'm going to leave you, Ryan, with this. Our good buddy Opie the Poet, who is the first voice you hear every Dork episode, the intro song is from Opie the Poet. He did, so I don't know if you saw this a while ago, some guy, is it Chris Nissan or something? He wrote an article called Decorative Gourd Season, Motherfuckers. And it was like a pretty popular, like, this guy wrote for like The Onion. He also wrote for a few other things. And it's like a kind of, I guess it's kind of a popular article about how sweet gourds are and like how it's decorative gourd season, motherfucker. Yeah. And so anyway, our buddy Opie took most of what he wrote and he turned it into a rap song. So it's very funny. You know, Opie didn't write it, but he put it together. He put it to music. So we're gonna end the episode with Opie. You got anything else before we get to Opie, Ryan?
Just a final thought that cheese is just a loaf of milk.
Is that right?
It is now.
I love cheese. Love cheese. All right, we're done.
It's decorative gourd season, motherfuckers. What you know about gourds? What you know about gourds? What you know about gourds? Hey. Tis the motherfucking season to get to the store to get you some gourds, specifically gourds that are decorative gourds. Decorative gourds, cause it's decorative gourd season, motherfucker. It's fall, y'all better get to the store for the baddest, fattest, festive ass horde of some decorative gourds. Decorative gourds, cause it's decorative gourd season, motherfucker. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to get my hands on some fucking gourds and a range. Them in a horn-shaped basket on my dining room table. That shit is just gonna look so seasonal. I'm about to head up to the attic right now to find that wicker fucker and dust it off like Blau. Then jam it with an insanely ornate assortment of shellacked vegetables. When guests come over, it is gonna be like blammo. Check out my shellac decorative vegetables, you assholes. Guess what season it is? It's fucking fall and there's a nip in the air. And my house is full of mutant fucking squash everywhere. We got pumpkins and squash, zooks and some cukes. Ain't no room for lagoons and no stupid ass fruit. Just some decorative gourds. Decorative gourds, cause it's decorative gourd season, motherfucker. Ain't no shortage of gourdage. My shit is gorgeous. The most atrocious cornucopic assortments of decorative gourds. Decorative gourds, cause it's decorative gourd season, motherfucker. I may even throw some multicolored leaves into the mix all haphazard like a crisp October breeze. Just blew through and fuck that shit up. Then I'm gonna get to work on making a beautiful fucking gourd necklace for myself. People gonna be like, aren't those gourds straining your neck? And I'm just gonna thread another gourd onto my necklace without breaking their gaze and quietly reply, it's fall fuck face. The next thing I'm gonna do is carve one of the longer gourds into a perfect replica of a Mayflower as a shout out to our pilgrim forefathers. And I'm gonna do some blow off its hull with a hook. It's the autumnal equinox. This fucking season rocks. Got my cable knit turtleneck and my comfy socks. It's decorative gourd. Decorative gourd. Decorative gourd season, motherfucker. I told you once, don't make me tell you fucking twice. I want my vegetables shellacked and my coffee pumpkin spice. Cause it's decorative gourd. Decorative gourd. Decorative gourd season, motherfucker. Y'all are gonna fucking love my house. Just look where you walk or you'll get knocked the fuck out by the gauntlet of misshapen zucchini descending bastards. Swinging from above, you better duck, so consider your motherfucking self worn. For now, all I plan to do is throw on a worn flannel shirt and some tattered overalls and a floppy fucking hat and go stand in the middle of a cornfield for a few days. The first crow that try to land on me is gonna get his avian ass bitch slapped all the way back to summer. Welcome to autumn, you fuckhead motherfucker. Got the sickest wicker baskets artisanally crafted and gorgeous. So many gourds, it's almost pornographic. Cause it's decorative gourd. Decorative gourd. Decorative gourd season, motherfucker. My squash game is on fleek and I don't mean on the court. My butternuts will make you bust a nut in your shorts. Cause it's decorative gourd. Decorative gourd. Decorative gourd season, motherfucker. I don't know what season you think that it is. It's not winter or summer or spring in this bitch. It's decorative gourd. Decorative gourd. Decorative gourd season, motherfucker. And I don't think y'all ready for this freaky ass harvest, for all this mutated zucchini related carnage. Cause when the leaves start falling, I start bawling the hardest. Oh.
That's right, y'all, I gotta go. Performing Al Gore reenactment of that Different Strokes episode. I'm sorry if that's too real and you can't deal. I can't shield you from it. I can't.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.